welcome once again. From Meltdown Comics, the Nerd Melt Theater in Hollywood, California, Harmontown is now in session. Please welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon.
Thank you. Thank you very much. A little nervous tonight. I don't know why. It's because that guy's got high standards. I could feel, I felt his needs when he walked in the door, the woo guy.
The woo guy sounds like he's got very few needs. He's already that entertained.
I look at it the other way around. I think he's acting that way because he feels like he's at a big time. It's time for him to be really entertained.
Well, why don't you just entertain him? Why don't you knuckle down and do it?
I will. Speaking of our lovable fans, I stopped for a drink at the Pikey. And as Aaron and I were walking back, we saw this dark, foreboding gang of street thugs. These kids, toughs, you know. Like, but then as they emerged into the streetlights, more emo toughs. It's Harmontown fans, all of them, like five of them. But like, by my perception, all different combinations. Like, so Anatoly was there, Matt Landsman. Uh-huh. Those are the two faces I saw before my social disorder caused me to just look at the sidewalk.
Anatoly is wearing an Argyle sweater vest. You thought he was an emo tough?
I don't know. Well, what's an emo tough? I don't even know what that is.
You just invented it.
It doesn't matter. It was a bunch of street toughs, a bunch of kids. I saw youthful posture. I saw a confident gait.
Were they silhouetted, or could you see that he was wearing a red Argyle sweater
vest?
No,
I did not see the red Argyle sweater.
Okay.
So then it became clear it was like five Harmontown fans. All walking as like a throng. Mm-hmm. They were probably on their way to the Pikey, I would guess, right? To get 7-Eleven, okay. To get 5-hour energies and blinky keychains or something. It's cool shit, like stuff that street kids do. But we walked past them and we were like, oh, Harmontown. Harmonians, that's what they were. We walked past them. But then something occurred to me. Like, it made me really laugh inside. That like, okay, so there's five guys. They're all, like, Harmontown fans. They probably met, like, hanging out here. I'm just going to hazard a guess. Or there's probably groups of friends who did meet by coming to the show. What if five of them then robbed a bank? Or killed somebody or something.
Are you worried how this would reflect on you?
Worried, delighted, I don't know. I just mean like how fun, how amazing would that be? How weird would that be? Remember after Columbine where there's all this undue attention on Doom, the video game? You know, like there's always this ancillary thing whenever something happens. All friends get together in some way. They all have some common connection. Oh, those they would be called the Harmontown robberies, or because they all met. Like there would be pictures of them at the show.
I think we can agree that's pretty unlikely, but I would like to plant that seed right now.
It would be amazing. Everybody, every group of people who ends up doing something historically horrible I would, met somewhere.
I think what we should do right now is look, if the mood strikes any of you, commit a nonviolent but high profile crime.
That's hard to do.
And
these
wear
days.
An all wear Harmontown hoodies.
You would, well, okay, or do it with a bunch of people you met at Harmontown, so that's the thread. Because
right.
Then the cops and their statements are going to see this word Harmontown. They're going to circle it. They're going to release a statement, and it's going to be like the trench coat mafia, but it'll be like the Harmontown killers.
No, not killers. Robbers, burglars.
Robbers, burglars, whatever.
They're going to be white collar, nonviolent. Like they're going to rob from the rich.
Are you worried about? You're worried about liability.
I'm worried about being blown up by one of them. I worry about my own safety if it becomes violent.
Speaking of violent crime, fantastic segue. Great job. We did it.
That's called accidental comptrolling.
I often, Twitter, there's, you have 225,000 followers. You definitely every day someone tweets you and says, my baby daughter's getting a heart transplant or whatever, something heartbreaking, and, can you retweet and blah, blah, blah. And I kind of, so that I don't do it 24 hours a day. Why am I qualifying this? What the fuck am I doing? I just like there's all kinds of stuff like that. But then those people like tweet at also Marc Maron or something like that. And it's, I hope your daughter has a good heart transplant and all that stuff. But I also, if somebody's a big Harmontown fan, specifically somebody that I met on tour, this guy's brother tweeted me, and it just I promised him that I would mention it. His Twitter name, the brother, is Gravy, with three F's. Said, Dan Harmon, my brother, a Harmenian you met at your Portland stop, was jumped, beaten, and stabbed and nearly died Wednesday in Seattle. Thursday in ICU, we watched the new episode. We love the graceful exits for Troy Barnes and Pierce Hawthorne. Would you wish Jeff a get well at Harmontown? You're a hero to us. Please, thanks. So, of course, Jeff, goddammit, get well. And he also said...
thank you, Dan.
When I responded to him, I said, I hope he's gonna get better. I don't know. Surgeons broke his sternum to fix his heart, so it'll be a long recovery. And then he included a photo, and of us, like we met in Portland.
Not of the sternum.
No, there was that, yeah. That's what he said. Sternum's they broke his sternum to fix his heart, and there was a link to a picture, and I clicked it very hesitatingly. I'm like, well, I'm either gonna. I guess I deserve this. But it was the photo that we took together, the brothers, and I'm assuming from the hashtag Tough Ginger that. The kid in question, Jeff, is probably the curly redhead on the right of the picture. And boy, there's not a lot of people who look like they deserve to be stabbed, but this kid looks the least like he deserves to be.
Wow. We all thought you were going the other way on that one. I would have stabbed this cocksucker.
It's like you're looking for something like oh, I can see why he got stabbed. Look at that hat. This kid looks like he's just adorable. He looks like a little angel. So, Jeff, if you're able to be listening to this, our prayers and good vibes are with you here at Harmontown. And we're
tell your doctors to stop breaking your sternum.
No, they had to.
Did they?
They had to fix his fucking heart. Can you imagine? Jesus Christ. Wow. Hearts all maybe they hurts just broke, that fucked up. They're going to break your sternum.
Maybe they broke his sternum and they said that after the fact.
They're mechanics.
You're going to make a heart omelet. You got to break a couple.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Your sternum is all in the way of your heart. You should have brought it in more often. It makes sense because mechanics get away with almost literal murder. Because none of us know anything about cars. Way less of us know anything about the human body. So how do you trust these fucking doctors? Fuck them. I'm sorry, Jeff, you should trust your doctors in intensive care. You should trust that they know what they're doing. All right, so I don't know. There's a couple things I wanted to talk about, but I think we should bring up our guests first.
Let's do it.
Because maybe we can talk about it with some of them if we're lacking for conversation. Allie Ward and Georgia Hartstark, they're known as Allie and Georgia commonly, and I asked them the last names in the green room. They're on the Feral Audio Network. Would you figure that, Jeff? Did you know that Feral Audio is a network?
I'd be jiggered if I knew that.
Their podcast is called Slumber Party, and they did have a show on the Cooking Channel called Tripping Out, and they're known for making insane cocktails like the McNuggetini.
What?
You can ask him about it if you want.
I'm fucking going to.
Sometimes I just read the blurb that I get to. But here's why they're really coming out, because they're going to start doing their podcast live. And their first live podcast is at the Hollywood Improv Wednesday the 29th. And their first guest is Dan Harmon. And that sounds exciting to me.
Is he in town?
Yeah. So let's bring him up. Allie and Georgia, come on out. Sit where you like. Do what you like. Sorry, I called one of you Harstark before.
I get worse than that. Yeah.
Nervous tonight. I don't know why. It's because of the woo guy. I don't know.
No, you said you were nervous before the guy wooed. Then that just compounded it.
I think it may be because we didn't do shows in so long. We went to Scotland and we came back. Last week's show, I was in a blackout drunk. I won't listen to it.
Don't.
We talked about gender for 3 hours.
I'd like to say a quick apology to all listeners that still listen to us after that show, because that show was...
Allie and Georgia.
Three unqualified lunatics talking about an issue they neither know anything about or have any fucking stake in. Fucking, wow.
Nor an issue that is...
I was going to say, you have double vaginas up here if you need to revisit
four
any
boobs.
Gender stuff.
Yeah.
Well, combined, it's like maybe one and a half
one
to three.
But you guys said you enjoyed it, and you have vaginas.
Yeah,
I
did enjoy it. I enjoy you guys. I enjoyed those without vaginas talking about the people with vaginas.
I don't think the lack of vagina was what disqualified us. It was a lack of intellectual assertion. It was rudderless, meaningless garbage.
Yeah, I just kind of blunder into that room and just go like, "Can you believe black men had the vote before white women? That's crazy. Good night." And then I go home and sleep like a baby, and then all races and all genders are like, "What the fuck? What?"
Yeah, I mean, like,
what did you mean?
We're making this up, and we misspeak a lot. You say the wrong thing, you misquote something. That's going to happen. That's fine. You know, like, that, it's going to happen to anybody. That doesn't bother me. I never listened to our shows. I would never listen to that one again, simply for my own sense of well-being.
I listen to almost all of them. Then there's some that it has mostly to do with alcohol intake. Like, I feel like if I get off stage and I'm like, I don't even remember how that show went,
but you can have drunk vodka all day long and come up here and have incredible facility. Like, you can be quite lucid, even though I know, because I know you, that you're Steamboat Willie drunk. Like, but that night seemed to be extra special, like swirly and like,
I think I had been drinking for 2 days or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
talk to the ladies.
I was gonna say,
had you get anything different? Yeah. Had you read had you seen a blurb about feminism or something? Like, what precipitated it?
Well, no. Some guy sent us a book. I remember that vaguely.
I remember that. Yeah. I remember that
we took a giant shit on him.
That poor guy.
And mine was simply on format. I didn't even read his stuff. I'm sure he's great, but his publisher can go second.
I don't know. I have no idea how we got on the topic.
Has
I mean, you listened to
guy?
It.
I did, yeah. I mean, I learned not to send you a book until, which is fine. I hadn't planned on it anyway, so I'm good. We're in the clear. And then, I learned that. I revisited the thought that that machines replace slavery, which is always. And then, of course, there's us with all of our dumb iPhones that are made essentially by slaves, and that's a whole other story. But whatever.
Right.
So,
God, I touched on
McNuggetini.
That slavery. Huh?
Can I just open up with chicken McNuggetini?
What? I would love for you to open up.
Tell me a little bit about this.
Oh no. That's how we monetized our friendship.
Yeah.
We like had this inside joke between the two of us. We're best friends and we'd go out late at night and drink and we had hard jobs and
I was actually a writer at the LA Times, right. And so I would be there until the lights turned off and I'd have to call the power room and be like, "Can you turn it back on?"
And I was a receptionist, so I had to say yes to white men a lot.
Yeah,
rich white men. I had to be like, smile. And that's really hard, you guys.
She would G-chat me and she'd be like, "Ugh, they asked me to fax something. I'm right in the middle of the fourth episode of whatever." She hated it. And so we always had this joke where we wanted to go out for a McNuggetini after work because it would take care of dinner and a drink and dessert, and then we could just go back to bed and then suffer again in the morning. And so we had this joke, and I think we posted it on each other's MySpace pages at the time.
I need a McNuggetini.
Right.
And then we're like, what if we actually did this? Like, what would it taste like? And it just was this long-standing joke between the two of us, and finally we're like, well, let's do it.
It was like a Pegasus that you're like, does it exist? Let's make it.
So how do you make it?
We had our friend Peter Tencio, who's the really funny comedy director, but he then wasn't.
Yeah, he was making things for Super Deluxe, and they paid him in packets of oatmeal, and he still worked for them. But now he directs Key and Peele, so we managed to get in on the ground floor there.
Yeah.
But he made a video for us of us making this drink, and it involves, which is all manner of horrible, just in every scale. It's a McDonald's milkshake
chocolate.
And then you add vanilla vodka to it, and you shake it lightly, and then you pour it into a martini glass.
That's been rimmed in McDonald's barbecue sauce.
And then
no actual McNugget.
We're not done yet.
Oh, you put one on the rim.
Perched on the side as a garnish is a McNugget.
And so wait, chocolate milkshake.
Yeah.
Vanilla vodka.
Are you taking notes on
this? No, I'm just barfing. With a rim of barbecue sauce I'm imagining you would put an olive garnish or an onion and a Gibson.
Yeah.
A chicken McNugget resting gently across the.
Yep. On the rim, so you slice it down the side a little.
Yeah.
Like a lemon.
Yeah, wedge. Yeah, a lemon. Then you drink it. And you have to get through the barbecue sauce. And then when you're done with it, you swipe the McNugget around the rim and eat it.
Yeah.
And And it's like, you know, when you dip French fries in like a milkshake, it's
I've heard of worse foods than that. And there's a hilarious, like, Greg Proops statement. Please, if you have not done this, go read. There's a New York Times restaurant review of Guy Fieri's Times Square.
Amazing.
Times Square. Have you read this review?
Yeah, oh, yeah. So who has it?
This guy absolutely buys 15 machine guns, loads them up, and just blazes that restaurant to pieces in this review. It is an absolute, like, assassination of this restaurant. And I love that New York Times even went to Guy Fieri's, what's it called? Bros and Tits? And,
like, it's, Bros and Tits and
you
Anus?
Know what's weird is that what it is?
No, but
it might actually kind of made me want to go there. Like, that article made me be like, well, I got to see this.
It sounds like a miniature golf course of food. Just like things in wrong scales and confusing.
Menu or anywhere, if you'd said it's the chicken McNugget teeny, and you said it's a McDonald's chocolate milkshake with vanilla vodka, a barbecue sauce rim glass, and a slice of chicken McNugget on the rim, that would sell like gross McDonald's hotcakes.
Here's the problem.
Have you sold this and actually made
it? No, we haven't, because we have a tiny bit of pride left. So we haven't ever sold it. But what happened was this video went viral, and we were like, oh, shit. Because we didn't mean to be known for this. Like, I studied so hard in school.
There's so many times where we'll be doing something, and Allie will be like, magna cum laude. Like, we'll be like, something like,
so this is your penicillin.
This was my accident. Like, this was my moldy dish after vacation. It was like this weird accident. It's like a baby that you're like, let's not abort it. And then we just have raised it into a career.
I didn't go to college, so my parents are stoked that, like, I have a career. Yeah.
Now, when you both made these, this was a joint, like, collaboration on the...
So since then, it was like 2009. Yeah. We've made a fucking career out of this. We quit our jobs, and, like, this is our job.
We ended up... It went viral, and then the New York Times contacted us, and they're like, we'd like to do a feature story. Can you fly out to New York so we can interview you? And we both... collectively lost our shit, and then Food Network offered us a contract, so we would
because of that.
Yes, I don't know. It's great.
Well, here's why: because it sounds just ridiculous enough to be awesome.
Jeff, you're being impolite to our guests.
I'm sharing their incredulity. Right?
I know, but you shouldn't share people's incredulity about their success. You should let them be incredulous.
No, it's fucking ridiculous.
And you should assure them that it's for a reason. That's just like taking their coat.
I'm saying that I'm certain that they proved their worthiness outside of that. That's a hilarious thing to become famous.
No one even wanted that.
They're world class philatraces. Yes.
Well, I want to talk to you guys about podcasting, because you for a very long time now in the Feral Audio Network, which is an amazing network. Yeah. You've been doing. I don't know how else. I don't know what the terminology is. Like in terms of sitcoms, there's single camera and multi camera, which means there's an audience. Like there's an audience here. There's not an audience. You guys have been doing the not an audience one for a while.
Yep.
Have you? And now you're gonna. Are you just shifting gears entirely, bailing on the non audience and doing the audience thing now?
No way.
No, I think we just want a more immediate form of validation. So we're going to get rid of it.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done it with an audience of Dustin, the producer, who's just right outside the pillow fort. And if we say something really disgusting, we'll hear him wince.
Yeah. Like to get Dustin to laugh outside the pillow fort.
You can hear him wince.
You can hear his whole body.
Well, how heavily did you edit? Because I went through all these phases with this thing where we would record this, and then I would sit with, you know, try to schedule a time with Dustin and go through it, and then we'd be sitting there in Pro Tools or whatever, Logic or Square 5 or whatever the fuck kids use, and going like, oh, well, that was kind of, that kind of doesn't really go anywhere, so let's bring up that laugh and do all those things. And we tried to minimize the dishonesty, and like I was trying to keep it to 90 minutes, all this stuff. The more emails I got or Tumblr messages about people that were just going, you know what, I listen to your podcast while I'm welding a mechanical bowl at work. I listen to your podcast while I'm driving to and from work. It became very clear that part of the format was that the people that really gobble it up, what they prefer more is a timely schedule than a finally edited masterpiece. We just stopped editing at a certain point.
That makes total sense. And I don't like to listen to myself talk. So if I'm on doing the podcast and I say something like racist or like shitty that I know is bad, I'll be like, not that I ever did. Dustin, like, that, take that out. But like, I won't go back and listen to it. And our best like episodes have been our solo episodes, because we're best friends. We know fucking everything about each other. We know each other's buttons to push. So the best episodes are when we're just totally candid and like.
Have you guys ever been in a, like an actual fight? Like
so many. Oh my God. No, the worst fights of my life.
No.
Fisticuffs.
No. I locked her out of a hotel room in New Orleans, but yeah. I mean, that was the worst thing
I broke
that's
into
ever
the
happened.
Hotel room.
She
in New
busted
Orleans.
Through the fucking door, and I was like, oh.
I watched true crime well, shit from nothing.
Did you kick
it? I was like, there's a monster outside.
This is when they put the door, like the lock.
When they, meaning Allie, who's locking Jordan.
I watch true crime constantly.
The little hingy
the
one?
Hinge, yeah, right. Yeah, the hingy one.
If you take a credit card or the room key or whatever and you slide it through, like, it'll
good to know.
My favorite thing about that is
don't rape anyone. So
everyone's groaning because you just armed a million. But my favorite thing about that is that the idea that in the midst of a drunken hotel fight,
so drunk.
One person will do something as delicate as threading a needle. And then I'm sure you're right back to fuck you, bitch.
I thought I was so smart when really I should have just gone and sat down and had some water and like everything would have been fine. But I was like,
Did you pick that up? Like watching like Dog the Bounty Hunter? Or?
No, I obsessively watch shows about like people who have murdered people.
Right,
like obsessively.
48 hours.
Yes.
Dateline.
Oh my God. All of the front.
Hence, I lock the hotel room door when Jordan is drunk.
Wait, so the little hingy one with a little thing that slides in and kind of locks it. You can put a credit card through. That?
Oh. You put a credit card and like kind of slide the hinge off.
Ah.
It's so easy.
Life hacking.
This is why I put yeah.
It's our life hacking segment. Also, you get a Mountain Dew bottle makes a great silencer.
And there's also the thing. there's great. Yeah, you put a pillow inside a Mountain Dew bottle. It has to be Mountain Dew for some reason. Like if you hold certain buttons down in certain elevators, and you bypass all the other floors if you want to go straight down.
Whoa, I did not know this.
Yeah, if you hold the door open or close button and hit a thing, and the floor you're going to, it just goes. Fire departments use it to get in places. So now I tell the world that so that the fire department so people die.
But if you hold it down a second too long, you end up on a special floor where the elevator master goes, "Who brought you here?"
We have no way of knowing.
You have come up, but you can never go down. You're just in a shitty like Adjustment Bureau movie.
What's Slumber Party?
Okay.
About?
What? Oh, sorry.
I was asking about slumber
like
party.
Like murderers and slumber parties. We have this. We have a slumber party podcast. So we get in pajamas because it's comfortable, and then we get people.
Slumber
in
parties that no one until now has been able to see. Like you guys have actually pitched
we
a tent.
We do the pillow fort. We do the.
You get in there and you make the guests feel comfortable, and then you talk to them. And now you're going to start doing that in front of an audience. Yes. So there's challenges there.
Right.
Are there?
Have you thought about them?
No, actually.
No.
Good thing I'll be your first guest.
Thank you for being our first guest.
Wait, you're the first live guest of the slumber party?
Yeah.
Are you going to wear PJs?
Sounds like it.
Can you wear like a little onesie or something?
Yes.
I have one.
You do?
I got one from Paramount for Christmas. It's like a red onesie.
Can you wear that? Slippers?
Is it a union suit with a little button?
Yeah, it looks like I want you to get off my moonshine. All right, should we shift focus and talk about constitutional law and Justin Bieber?
Oh, yes. He's on that scissor. He's on that SERP so bad.
Jeff, what do you know about Justin Bieber?
Very precious little.
What's going on right now?
I do know that I was flipping channels and he's under felony charges for egging his neighbors.
Does anybody else in this audience have the immediate... do I have a personality disorder?
Yes.
Or within 5 seconds of those chyrons, are you upset about search and seizure? Are you upset about... Like all I heard was... everybody's laughing about I guess Justin Bieber egged his neighbor's house. The cops raided his house and found cocaine. I'm like, what? Wait, back up a million steps in the fucking Constitution. I know he's not American, but apparently either are we. What are you talking about? Oh, well, I guess he had surveillance cameras, so they wanted... that's self-incriminating. What? You can't. I'm pretty sure if you search every house in California, you're gonna find some fucking cocaine. Let's just call that a given. Let's make the assumption that in the eyes of the fucking government, which is a shitty, joyless organization designed to govern, not to provide us with happiness, but to supposedly protect it. Let's just assume that within the eyes of a faceless, inhuman organization like the government, every person's individual life is spent breaking the law. Let's assume that. That if you pull every car over, there's something nasty in their trunk. If you go into anyone's house, they got something that they're embarrassed about. That's why the Founding Fathers put a little concept in the goddamn Constitution called fucking privacy. We have privacy. We have a right to be individuals. And when it comes to drugs, I think it's perfectly fine for a country with a gross national product to say, well, at our borders, we're going to try to like put a throttle on the amount of cocaine or heroin or whatever the fuck their business is. If you're living in a country that has less pantyhose or more potted ferns because your giant country made a social contract with some free trade agreement with some other country, hey, that's tough titties for you as an individual. You move countries or whatever. Or you're trapped there and you have less pantyhose. So goes drugs. But I think the idea has always been that by the time a little bindle of cocaine gets into your front pocket at the local bar, you're allowed to have it. Like, you need to have done some fucked up shit before they're allowed to find that shit.
Well, did they?
And people can't kick in your door.
Did they burst in, or did they actually have access to the house? Just generally, like,
I understood was that the kid egged a house. Obviously, he's been a bit of an annoyance in his neighborhood. I have a feeling his neighbor is well hooked up. I picture his neighbor being like a guy like me, like a 41-year-old guy whose neighbor is Justin Bieber,
and has
had it for 20 years, and dines with cops, and is like, sure, fuck this fucking kid.
You know what it kind of reminds me of is like when you hear about like people who were peeing in a bush, which. It's how we met.
We'll
go back to that.
Okay.
Get arrested and then have their like sex crimes or what is it called? Thank you. But then they're on the sex offender registry because
right. It's almost like a thing where they're like, come in for a free tour, and then they try to sell you a condo. It's like
right. Yeah. You're like, well, that's not really the same thing as that. And like egging a fucking house. Like if he really wanted to, he could have killed that guy.
I saw a couple days ago. God, if Bieber just whacked somebody, that'd be so good.
Wait, hang on. What do you mean when you say if he really wanted to, he could have whacked that guy?
I'm just saying like. Egging a house is an innocent, simple way to get out your frustrations on this person.
Well, right. But over a certain dollar amount of damage.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
But I saw,
apparently there was $20,000 worth of damage, which is believable when you egg a rich person's house.
And I saw this news item a couple of days ago, so I don't know what happened today or yesterday, really.
He's drinking copious amounts of cough syrup.
Sweet.
Which is so sad.
Do people do that?
Doesn't he have any cocaine on him?
but the impression that I got when I first watched it was that there was probably a bunch of people in his house because he throws parties, and people, maybe him included, maybe not, went and egged the neighbor's house, and then the cops came in like, hey, can we come in? Sure. And then there was somebody had coke.
Right. I think it was on one of his entourages, little personal pizza, whatever his name is.
Little personal pizza.
That's it. Like one of his entourages named Little Zod.
Did they cash Little PP riding dirty?
But the idea is, I'm telling you right now, if you kick in my door, you're gonna find some shit. I'm an American.
Let's get over there right now.
I'm trying to think.
I pursue my fucking right to happiness.
Dan, you're not
and old. I do it on my own property. And if you kick in my door and you go through every inch of my house, you are going to find illegal shit. God bless me. And the same went for George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, who would have been hung if they caught them because they were fucking treasonous terrorists. They were forming a fucking country where people should mind their own goddamn business. And egging a house is shitty. And if you can prove that you egged a house, then you owe the guy 20 grand. That is not a search warrant situation.
Well, I don't think they. I would guess that it wasn't. They broke down the door without a search warrant and started looking.
No, they served him a warrant, I'm sure, and I think he was like, okay, fool.
But they can also say, can we come in? And they go, yeah, you can come in. When they come in and they see coke on the table, they can go, what's this? And they can bust whoever is involved.
Anyways, Team Biebs.
I'm just saying,
though. It sounds to me, Dan, like you've become a bit of a constitutional believer.
I am. And I'm going back through all of Justin Bieber's crimes, and I'm going, you know what? Anne Frank probably would have been a believer. He had every right to.
Oh, God.
She probably would have been.
Yeah.
But that's what I think he's getting. I think he's getting punished for just being a tiny douchebag is what's happening.
Exactly. And that is, if that's a crime, we're all in trouble, man, especially me.
Yeah.
I need to keep my ass. Like, it needs to not be illegal to be unlikable.
My only problem with Justin Bieber is that he's rocking and made quite famous the haircut that I had when I was 4. Well, I was doing the big sweepy thing a long time ago and fucking nothing. No record deals.
I also want to reach out to him and say, from the bottom of my heart, I am so sorry about the photos they choose when you're being vilified. And the because man, they found when I made my classic rape joke, boy, they found the yellowest teeth. Like they just found like these snarling photos of me going, I love rape. And he egged a house. And they found cocaine. And there's every photo is like him on the red carpet doing like a Corey Feldman break dance. Or,
can I? Here's my look. I love the Constitution as much as anybody, but I do think that personal rights might have to be stepped in on when he's wearing the pants with the crotches by the knees.
No.
Then you're
I don't know what that means. Crotches by the knees.
He has those pants, the saggy crotch pants, where like the belt would be where the normal pants would be waisted, but the crotch portion is down here. So
you know what? It's full of cocaine and eggs and cough syrup.
Cocaine and eggs and cough syrup.
You know why?
Oh my!
The heaviest habits known to man.
Just in case. This is
good night, everybody. It's been our show. Thank you for coming to Harmontown.
Let's search her house. She made a pun.
Yeah, what's that, Georgia? What's the worst thing they would find in your house? The worst thing they would. Georgia and I have this game we play on Slumber Party because we ask Slumber Party questions, and one of them is when you die, what's the worst thing?
And feel
your
free to include hard drives.
Hard drives.
Then we're all fucked.
You know, I got us. This isn't my house, but I stay friends with an ex partly because he has videos and pictures. You know what I mean? And it's like,
what's his name?
I'm just kidding. No.
I'm kidding.
I can't piss him off that much.
Right.
Because he has.
What are these videos? Can you, again, in broad strokes?
Long term relationship videos and photos.
She was in a musical.
Yeah. It's you and Pippin when you're. No, it's a. Kinky scale 1 to 10, 10 being holy shit.
5. It's not
5.
That bad, yeah.
So, yeah, enough to be embarrassing.
Embarrassing.
But not, yeah, not felonious.
Also, my hair was terrible, you know?
Oh, yeah. Is that what you're worried about? See, Dan, it seems to me that a lot of your beef with this whole Justin Bieber break-in is that the idea that your illegal stuff at home isn't safe, right? Is that?
It all goes back to me taking a pee in first grade, and all of the kids at the urinal slowly looking over and laughing at me, and at that point me realizing that you're not supposed to drop your underwear and pants all the way to your ankles.
Yes. I knew it! Oh god, that's awful!
Which is why Justin Bieber invented these new pants.
The job
is half done.
Maybe there is overlap there.
That's
maybe
too...
people should be allowed to do whatever they want with their pant level too. I never diagnosed myself with Asperger's. I never will. I'm 41. It takes too long, too much money. I don't care.
But
I have achieved a lot of understanding about my personality and the struggles I've gone through by participating or voyeuristically spying on conversations between people on the spectrum on the internet. Which I started doing accidentally because I was writing this character that I didn't want to get wrong. What I understand now very clearly is that there is we all share is a fear of alienation and excommunication, and that a lot of people have like these tendrils, these social cues, these pickups, and the things that like they just keep them safe. Like people, there's people who are naturally buoyant, to use the metaphor of a pool, and then there's people who feel like they sink like a stone after a second if they don't flail or grab something. And I think when you're on the spectrum, you are it's not the doing things wrong. It's the realization that you can do things wrong and not even realize that you've been doing them wrong until it's too late. And it's that fear that we all have of being kicked out. It's like, I didn't know that if I egged my neighbor's house, you could fucking kick in my door.
We've both been pantsed before, like, oh, as young people.
Like, the pantsing was a formative trauma.
Somebody coming up to you in the lunchroom and just slapping you in the back of the head, and you have no idea it was coming, and you don't know why it happened, and then you find out because you're confused, and your hero is Spock or Doctor Who, and he gets to the bottom of things. Why did that happen? Why did Troy do that? Troy did that because you spoke up in science class and you embarrassed him. You raised your hand at the wrong time. You've been wearing those pants for too many days in a row.
Well, realizing that you're the butt of the joke is like the most eye-opening thing, you know, that happened when I was in fifth grade and got pants. And I was like, oh, like, this is funny to people.
What was your reaction? Because I saw some girls go through some pretty traumatic pantsings.
Really traumatic, life-changing.
Oh, yeah. Mine was in seventh grade. And I was in a fight with my friend Laura. She was not drunk and not in a hotel room. But her boyfriend was a dick. And a whole group of them are like, hey, Laura wants to talk to you. And then Kenji, her boyfriend, came up behind me and pulled the
guy down.
He should die. And it was like I had a whole group of people watching.
So I remember the same thing, slow motion. Yeah. My entire fifth grade class.
Down to the knickers or down to fully nude?
Just underwear.
I think just underwear.
You know, but still, like, you don't get pantsed if you're like a popular kid. We both were really low self-esteem. Hated ourselves. We're total nerds. And then that happened.
I slapped Kenji in the fucking face, though.
I clawed this girl's arm.
It's funny that you guys have the slumber party motif, though, because slumber parties were really, even beyond any scholastic environments, slumber parties, your closest friends. Also, the place where the knife could go in the deepest. Like, I had my best times and my worst times at slumber parties, where we called them sleepovers because we were dudes. But we... You know, like the most, the reason why you always wanted to have sleepovers is because you wanted to be participatory of like the most joyous moments of young life, and the those spikes would come, and those are you jumping up and down, and your friends, and you're having a great time. But then, my worst memories are at slumber parties where I'm suddenly realizing again, like, wait, what the fuck? What did I? Wait, me? I'm the scapegoat?
No, that's the worst.
Did you guys have a meeting about this?
That's the worst, but that's the worst fear. That's the fear that's so weirdly universal to humanity. And I wouldn't get downer about it, but it's something that I struggle with my whole life, of being like, what if everyone fucking hates me and I have no idea?
So they when a helicopter shot at Justin Bieber's house is a thing, like, my mind doesn't automatically go to, ha, fuck that guy. He's so popular and rich. My mind goes to, fuck the police. Fuck. Like, I know there's police out there that are so such great people. I thank God there are decent people who've signed up for that job. But I'm just saying, as an institution, like, if I'm watching someone's house get raided on CNN, like, I never go, I don't care how famous they are. Like, first we have to hate the government, then we have to hate famous people in that order. So important. Because famous people can't yet. All they can really do is fuck with your brain a little bit and lower your taste. Like, the government can really do a lot of damage with too much power.
Those things don't really make sense. Egging to raiding don't.
They do not equate.
If it was Charlie Sheen, you'd be like, well, he sold cocaine.
If there was a news story that broke about a little kid that egged somebody's house and then the cops raided their house, like, under the right demographic circumstances, that would be all over Facebook as like an example of police. Like,
that happens every night all across the country, I'm certain.
Well, it's called raiding people's houses who didn't even egg people because they live in the wrong neighborhood.
But also, like if somebody, if you live in a wealthy neighborhood and you are a non famous child living in that neighborhood, or a youngster like he is, and you decide to do shitloads of grand heavy duty damage to your neighbor's house, the cops are coming. They're going to come into your house if you allow them in. If you go, no sir, not without a warrant, they go, all right, they'll have to play by the rules. But if you let them in and they find drugs there, you go to jail. Everybody there gets questioned and all that shit happens. Helicopters come because he's Justin Bieber. But
no, those are news coppers. I understand. Copters, yeah. I understand. But the whole thing in total that disturbs me is that the entire thing adds up to something that we all just take for granted, which is that, oh, well, he had it coming. Now, wait a minute. I don't care who had it coming. I watch enough Law and Order. I love me some Sam Waterston. Like the rule of law is what's important. It doesn't matter who had it coming. You can't shoot someone in the face because they, you know, like, until after the law fails you anyway. Like, you know, like you can't you can't, like, and we can't just look at somebody and go like, oh, well, he was a dick about that monkey thing on the airline, and he's there's been all kinds of stories about him, so fuck him. No, not fuck
is
anybody.
Is Justin Bieber under charges right now? Has he been, like, arrested or arrested?
I don't know. I gave up at my outrage. I had something to talk about, so I stopped researching.
He was in the news today for drinking a shit ton of weird cough syrup, which is so slumming it. But on that point, though, I think there's something really interesting about hive mind and about have you ever heard of the term tallest poppy syndrome, where it's like a metaphor for the tallest poppies in opium crops get cut because they don't conform. So this idea that something rises above and it's bigger and it's more conspicuous then gets human nature is to chop it. And so I think it's above constitutional law concerns. It's also
Harrison Bergeron, but
that's celebrity, as we're uncomfortable with a kid who put a YouTube video up and became a billionaire at 12.
That's my problem.
Gets more pussy than anyone in this room ever.
I don't like that hypocrisy.
Will.
I thought our country was supposed to be about innovation and this other stuff. The glee that we take in raising people up. It's like, if somebody's that famous, it's because everybody loved them, and then we crucify them.
That's what we do.
It's. I don't like that.
No, it
and
sucks.
Neither did God. Hence the New Testament.
No, it sucks.
It's not a cool behavior, and we fucking don't learn our lesson.
But all of that is a reflection, also, and this is super cheesy, but of how much you actually like yourself. And if you hate yourself, you want everyone to hate themselves. And if you're okay with yourself, you don't give a shit what people think about themselves. And so the idea that if you're in this cycle of like, I suck. Everyone hates me. I must be terrible. What's wrong with me? Is there something wrong with me I don't know about? Am I okay today? You're gonna wish failure on everyone.
Yeah, you're gonna feel fine with it. It's like throwing a rock at the moon. That's every day on Twitter. Somebody like takes a shot at me. You know, 85,000 people hug me and make me feel wonderful about myself, and then one person goes like, "Hey, fuckface, why are you so fat and untalented?" And of course, I go like, "Well, let's talk about this." And I get out my eyeglasses and I want to talk to them. I over and over and over again, it's the same thing. It's like this person that no matter how they want to dress it up, regardless of what form they take, it's this person that is actually quite shocked in the end that, like, I would go, "Hey, what?" Because the first thing they say is they go like, "What a loser talking to me. What the fuck?"
No, that's
sad. You don't want to, well, why did you talk to me? And then 90% of them go like, "Look, maybe I misspoke. I'm just saying, like, I was like..." Our celebrity worship is...
They think you're invincible. They think you're dangerous.
Invincible.
They think
just me. Like, I exist in a safe part of that pond. Then you look at the things... If you ever go to, like, a Kardashian's Instagram... some girl takes a photo of herself and says, "I'm having fun at the zoo. I'm a Kardashian." And the things... it's just... Oh, kill yourself. You should kill yourself. If you don't kill yourself, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to hire someone to kill you. Your head looks stupid. Your face looks stupid. You shouldn't be at the zoo. You're a horrible person. I hope your face gets ripped off by that animal. I hope you're... I've never watched the Kardashian show. I don't know what these people do that's so wrong, but it's so disturbing.
We always struggle with the thought of like promoting ourselves, like, and being like, "Look at me doing this thing, and look at us doing this thing, and hey, we're gonna be at, even like at Harmontown." And it's like, are we bragging? Are we inviting people to be annoyed with us and to hate us?
Yeah.
Well, that's a larger...
I got a documentary coming out about myself. That's going to go well. That's going to go real well. I can't wait to read the AV Club review of the documentary I produced about myself. That's going to make me feel fantastic.
Hi, Aida. Wenn ich morgens beim Yoga die Sonne grüße und sie abends mit einem Sundowner wieder verabschiede, wenn ich nur einmal packen muss, aber 5 Länder erleben kann. Wenn ich jeden Tag an einem neuen Ort aufwache und mich dank dir trotzdem wie zu Hause fühle, dann kann ich uns kaum erwarten. Entdecke mehr auf aida.de oder in deinem Reisebüro.
But all of that is, you'll notice course, like the more invincible and the more on top people seem, then the more of that like chopping poppy syndrome you see, and so you have to understand and take that with some kind of weird.
You have to almost like, and I don't know if this is part of the solution or part of the problem, but I think what you're suggesting is that a healthy person would look at each knife as a hug. Like,
yes,
but I don't know if that turns you into a monster. Isn't that the definition of a sociopath?
I think what you do is look at the person on the other side of the knife and realize that they're these sad people who are never going to affect your life.
And that therefore,
don't matter.
In their mind, the blade on the knife is a Nerf blade.
Yeah, I mean, really, they're trying to get your attention.
Right.
That's what they're doing. And so there's something about them that needs.
It's almost like an Andy Kaufman
so.
Routine where it's like he just went, fuck it, if people are booing you, that's part of the act. Like, it didn't affect him that way.
But you just said, Dan, that you know that 85,000 people hug you and one person says you're fat, and that drives you crazy. Like, you don't think that you're going to get 100% of the people to say nice things to you on
right,
online. Yeah. So intellectually, you understand that there's a percentage of people who are going to say that.
No, I understand that all intellectually, but that's just like, yeah. I don't. I'll look, here's the thing. Everyone loved the last episode of Community, but 5 seconds into reading the praise of the last episode of Community, I started to get bummed out because the praise came in the form of, this is the funniest episode of Community since season 2, which made me go, I did a bad job on season 3. I made a realization, and I'll make it again for the rest of my life. It's too late for me. I'll never be mentally healthy, but it's another epiphany in my epiphany drawer. My work, my relationship with strangers will never make me happy. That's how sick I am. So
no,
yes, I realize all these things. The logical realization of it doesn't mean anything.
But do you think that that your self-hatred, and we both have it in certain doses, like helps fuel you as a person, because you hate yourself, yet you've made this incredible like career doing something you love and are good at, but you know, if you liked yourself, would you have tried so hard to prove?
No,
yourself?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well,
that's a problem, is that that validation is the reward for ambition, which can a lot of times be fueled by the need for validation. So if you are like, oh, fuck, I got a hole in my bucket, you're going to keep trying to fill your bucket, and you're like, I still got a hole in it.
I think the key has something to do with that hole. The hole in the bucket has to, you have to let that lead you into vocational ambition.
Yeah.
Where it will never be fulfilled. And you have to then simultaneously somehow, I'm miming like some bucket going underwater. It looks like some weird thing. But while that unfillable void directs you forward in terms of the things you output, you simultaneously have to derive your emotional well-being from your dog, your fiance, your ice cream.
Both of which are amazing. You have not mine.
Not them.
I have neither.
And you have to not let those things. That's the thing. Like, you can't. Like, you have to. Like, yeah. You just have to go. Like, okay. I'm a person who can never do anything right for anybody. So I'm gonna always, like, until I drop dead, like Robert Altman, I'm just gonna like make things. Like Woody Allen, I'll just make things. Like, those are great. Those are heroes of ours because they're prolific.
But
compartmentalize. Because obviously, if Woody Allen ever allowed people's opinions of his personality
to mitigate his
output, there would have been a little bit of a divot at a certain point in his career, and there wasn't.
He better not egg anyone.
I
he should never
Barcelona
egg anyone.
I was pretty shitty.
He's psychologically probably a monster, but that's okay.
And he's not listening, and he won't punch a mirror when you say that, unlike me, and that's where I fall short. Like, I probably won't punch a mirror, but.
That's the thing is, and for me, we would not have multiple TV shows if out of a McNuggetini video if I didn't have an unfillable void.
My anxiety and depression wasn't fueled on like, but you're not doing enough.
We wouldn't have.
See, I have
job.
No ambition. I have zero.
Jeff.
That's a good thing to do.
I don't. Also, like, I don't think I'm crazy enough to be that talented or that funny. Like, well,
I don't think I'm talented. I know
guilt,
I work my ass off.
The guilt of having a partner that you have to. I would have never done this on my own. Like, the guilt of being like, well, Alan always going to be disappointed if I don't write this thing. Or like, well, I have to show that I'm carrying my weight. And so when you have someone to work with like that, it really helps.
I'm the deadline bitch a lot of times. So I keep...
See, I don't like people like you that have ambition, that have I don't like people that have holes in their bucket because you guys are all the people that are getting shit done. You guys are fucking...
I know. You guys have never going to be happy.
You have careers and shit like that.
No, I actually had a weird... And I don't know if this is... You guys don't know me, so I don't know if this is weirdly personal, but I had a fucking... The last couple weeks, we've both had really hard years. We've had terrible years. And if you listen to Slumber Party with Ali and George on Feral Audio, one of our episodes was called Flash Flood of Sadness because, like, in the 1 month, like, we both went through all kinds of weird shit outside of our control. And so I've had, like, this terrible hard year, and I have beat myself up a million times for how I am not enough. I didn't handle it well. Everyone must hate me. Blah, 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 blah. If I send a birthday gift late, I'm like, oh, I'm a monster. I'm a sociopath. I should kill myself. Like, I should Kardashian myself at the zoo. I'm the worst person. And I just recently, like, finally was like, I can't do this anymore. No one wants me to hate myself. Right. I keep thinking everyone will like me more if I'm successful and have it together and I'm like not hideous and I have like a show with my best friend. As long as I hate myself, I'm acceptable. And I was like, no one wants me to hate myself. That makes me more of a garbage person. So I'm just like, fuck it. I'm just going to be okay with it and just worry about other shit. So thanks. Oh my God. Thanks. I'm able to accept your applause.
There is always an outrage underneath every heckle when you confront it that the people go like, well, wait a minute, what the fuck are you doing? You're standing in front of me. You're running your mouth. I'm not allowed to shoot a paintball gun at you. That's all I'm doing. Yeah, I have my own issues, but I'm not a celebrity. Blah 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 blah. They unfold all this stuff, and then we go, well, look at all the hypocrisy of your point of view and all this shit. And they're like, yeah, I'm not in that business. Fuck off. I'm a fucking audience member. Like, I'm sitting here. I'm Twitter. I'm just like tweeting that Dan Harmon's an asshole. I didn't expect Dan Harmon to fucking come down on me like a goddamn like weird cloud. But I'm going to keep doing it because it freaks them out so much. I love it.
Like all the other people, like the percentage of people in this room who have tweeted at you is probably really low, but the percentage of people who like appreciate you and like you. And I mean, like think about the people that you used to love when you were growing up and there was no way to tell them ever.
Yeah, exactly.
So
and also if I
themselves?
Knew that like Kyle MacLachlan from Twin Peaks like was really sensitive about how people perceived him, I would have liked him less.
I don't
want to know the ins and outs of his fucking relationship with his self-image.
Now that I know what it's like for someone to come up to me and be like, I love your show. Like, I saw Jello Biafra outside of a bar like years ago. I should have been like, you changed everything. And I was like, oh, I'm going to annoy him. I'm not going to say anything. But like, these people were really stoked. But
I would have retweeted Janine Garofalo all the time.
Yeah.
I would have spent my entire adolescence just RTing, like, look what Morrissey said. I had no access to that. I just had to stare at them from afar and read liner notes.
Yeah, so why now?
So, I mean, that's a totally... I mean, people... I think now celebrities or people, tallest poppies, are much more porous in that way. I think that they're much... Their membranes are much more permeable to that criticism. And not... I don't think people who are in this business necessarily take praise with the way that they do criticism. And that's a big thing that you just have to like get zen about, or else you're going
to. But those tallest poppies are more sensitive to the sun and are reaching higher and are represent a biosphere in which poppies are going to get taller.
Everyone's on opium.
But it's true. Because there is no Cary Grant of the year 2050. That doesn't work that way anymore. There's no newsreel going, "Hey, who's that with Marilyn Monroe on the red carpet?" It's only going to be a bunch of people that are like, "Hey, what'd you say about me? Fuck you." because everyone's going to be... You're not going to be allowed to be famous if you're not accessible.
Like having to reveal more and more about yourself. If you're like, you have to be this... You can't be this character. You have to be like, here's how flawed I am. Or like, here's everything about me that you need to know.
Now, I would say like throughout time, like the Mount Olympus of you know, the people that we allow to be celebrities, there are people that we don't want to touch. There are people that
sacrosanct. We always give like some George Clooney
Clooney or a little Beyonce. Like, no, she's safe. Like, we'll fucking leave her alone. You know, when people were being vicious to each other throughout the years, like nobody outed Barbara Stanwyck or Doris Day because they're fucking beloved, and everybody knew that they were gay, that knew them, but they didn't say it because
just found out right now.
Yeah, because I made it up. No, but like there are people that we do want to be Apollo and Aphrodite, and there's also people that we want to be punished. There's people that we want to cast away,
like Madonna from the beginning.
Yeah,
like it's not like she was beyond reproach. Like she was a sex symbol and she was world conquering and everyone knew her name, but at the same time she represented an archetype that was like inviting everyone's bile.
The thing is, we
get puked on.
We don't have a Cary Grant. I mean, George Clooney is doing his level best without trying to. We're forcing that on him to be a guy that people really want to like, and he's making it very easy for us to like George Clooney. He doesn't, and even if he ever did something bad, people wouldn't fucking talk about it. Like when I was a kid, like as I mentioned before, I was in a play with Yul Brynner. If you guys know him, as an actor from the 50s, he was a big sex symbol for many years and a big hot shot in these giant movies. And we did like 13 cities on this tour before I went to Broadway, and we were in Cincinnati. It was opening night. And we were on the whatever the river is there. Is it the Ohio River? What is it?
Yes.
And there was a riverboat, and that was where opening night party was. And there was always local dignitaries and press and, you know, like kind of local hotshots and possibly a mayor would come to these parties. And the kids, there were 13 of us, 7 that traveled and 7 local kids that filled out the kid portion of the cast. We would all walk up in this procession and meet him. And I'd learned, I was raised in kind of an old school, like LA kind of very mannerly environment where you said good evening and how do you do and stuff like that. But we wore suits, and my understudy was brand new in the job, and he was a kid named Luke from Philadelphia. He was very crass, very, you know, like Irish Catholic working class kid, really funny, but really, you know, like rough around the edges compared to, you know, like the rest of us probably. And his dad was this, you know, tough old, you know, Irish guy, he's hilarious. And he was in front of me, and he was his first time meeting Yul, and it was in front of everybody, there's cameras, you know, for the local newspapers. And he walks up and he goes, "Hi," and Yul just goes, "Boom!" and just smashes him with this giant hand across his face. Absolutely clobbers this 10-year-old. And I'm right behind him, and like I'd never seen Yul hit anybody, but I knew that like you don't fucking cross he's the king on and off stage, and he was a bad old school motherfucker who was dying of cancer and in front
and
of
who us. Was a robot cowboy.
Yes. And who said to him, "Go back to your mama."
Is that what he said?
No, in Westworld.
Oh, okay.
Westworld quote for nobody. Fucking rent Westworld. He fucking gives Richard Benjamin the fucking time of his life, man.
I love that you just got...
he really gives Richard Benjamin what how.
What how? Anyway.
You got one person snapping to that, by the way. Like a beat audience. Yeah, which is like a glorious and disgusting, and I love it.
It's Adam Goldberg.
What up?
No, I did not rub your lamp, Adam. Be quiet. So Yul just bashes this kid, and he gives him this big monologue. You're in the presence of ladies. You do not say hi. You say, "How do you do?" You say, "Good evening." He gave him this big-ass thing. And the thing is, the guys with the cameras, the press that were there, put their cameras down.
Right.
And like, this kid's getting the fucking talking to. He's getting the rules right now. Now, look, the Irish Catholic father of Luke, who was, you know, he had diabetes, he had scoliosis, one leg was fucking a foot shorter than the other one. Like, this guy had been through wars and shit. He, like, his fists came up. And then put him right back down because, there was a status ladder, and Yul just gave him this fucking talking to, and the sound it made when he hit this kid was a fucking major.
Okay, so let's not live in that world. But if paratroopers come in through the skylight then and arrest Yul Brynner for the future crime of child murder, then I'm on Yul Brynner's side.
The reason I bring that up, we lived in a time when celebrities misbehaved, that wasn't news. Now any bit of misbehavior is front page news at all times.
Because gloriously the concept of celebrity, hopefully, it'll be interesting to watch how this happens. It's like a paint pigment that's like, you know, you can't, you used to, I feel like from watching old black and white, you know, culture and stuff that you could count the number of celebrities on a couple of hands.
Yeah.
Like, and that the list dropped off really fast. You didn't like have like, you didn't know who was famous beyond like 10 people. And that now it's just more, stratified kind of like, obviously it's just like, oh, my neighbor has a podcast and she's got 1,000 listeners, which I think is very healthy and very good. But it's like, it's being infected by this old world concept of celebrities as a class.
I disagree with that, though. I think we've needed celebrities since before we had Twitter or podcasts. Like, if you look, like, I studied Latin in college or in high school. I had AP Latin. Only person in my class. It was me and Mrs. Biesio. She's dead now. Don't worry about it. But it was just me and her. But, you know, so you study, when you study the classics and you know, Roman and Greek mythology, you learn about demigods and you learn about there's Zeus and then he's got a whole bunch of people that are like kind of half here and they're half human, they're half gods. And that is who you look to learn, like, how the fuck to grow grain and, like, how not to get smote, essentially. But, I mean, between that and, like, sun gods and gods of rain, I think, and royalty, before we had media, the kind of technology that we have now to be, like, so in everyone's
face. People need to talk about.
We need something to guide us.
Hey, did you hear Hermes fucked a swan?
Yeah, we need something to guide us.
Back when there was only the radio and before TV, and then when there was TV, there was three channels, and then there was five, and then there was a million. And now everybody has a podcast and a YouTube channel and stuff like that. We still want to classify the people around us, the celebrities that we choose to put on pedestals. And the reason why we erect pedestals is for the purpose of knocking them off them.
Exactly.
When that happens. In that fucking glorious 2 weeks when Charlie Sheen was becoming the greatest thing that ever fucking happened, everybody was just like, okay, this is fucking exciting. Right. Whether or not you loved it, hated it, didn't give a shit, you were violently indifferent to it if you were indifferent to it. In a slow news week, if Dan and Chevy Chase get in a fight, that's because Charlie Sheen isn't doing it on a fucking way bigger level.
Right.
We do need to cast.
I'm offended by that.
Yeah. Well, no.
I'm kidding about that.
I'm saying, well, you aren't. We have to cast our.
I'm definitely kidding about.
I know. I'm joking.
Wanting to be more famous than Charlie Sheen.
I'd say, but like we have to cast our gods and demigods. We have to create our Mount Olympus at all times. Now it's so diffuse because we have a million Charlie Sheens.
Right.
I agree with all of you.
I think that in days when media was very very limited, where it was just one way transmission of like imagery, then we had that perfect harmony. That golden age where it basically supplanted what you're describing in ancient Greek, ancient Roman society, where you had like the mystery gods. And I worship Isis and I have a statue of so-and-so. Yeah, but did you hear Isis says the reason why there was a flood last week? Yeah, fuck that bitch. All right, she's all right. She's all right. You know, like it was sort of like it was gossip and soap opera all tied into religion, and it was civic and it worked as long as the society worked, and then the barbarians at the gate and then the monotheism and whatever. The only thing that I'm saying is that nowadays, now that we have so much access to everything, we're coming off of a industry where the concept of fame and celebrity had so much dollar value per ounce that it's incompatible right now. That you would hold the third lead of Vampire Diaries or someone whose blog is taking off to this Cary Grant kind of standard. It's where we're seeing is a sort of blender of weirdness. I certainly feel that way as a person who never wanted to be regarded as anything in particular except by a couple of people. Like that's what I'm saying is that there's a lot of fame to go around, and I do think we'll always have George Clooney's that we can launch to the moon and we can watch them explode in space. And
now fame is so, I think the idea now, because the internet being what it is, the amount of efficacy people have that they can rumble you and you can be rumbled, and the Kraken can come out from the sea and start laying waste and start like engaging like the townsfolk. But also, I think people see fame as something much more attainable now because you can become a
and they should. Everyone can be famous.
Well, that's what I wonder about.
Look at it that way first.
They can't.
Stop looking at your life as miserable and start realizing that although it doesn't pay anything, tomorrow you can be seen by a million people.
Yes, everybody can be famous. And that's why every fucking day you turn the TV on is some guy who shot up a school. Everybody can be famous.
Yeah, those people are having a fucking breakdown because of some kind of like I think
because they don't matter.
They're
and that's why you make
and they're sensing
videos.
That they're supposed to matter.
But now there's recourse. I don't exist. I can exist for 48 hours in the fucking national media. Like I can be notorious.
I can trade in all my mortgage and all my mom's yelling at me or whatever the situation I'm in. Yeah. I'm going to kill myself anyway. I think I'll go blow away a syrup factory.
Yeah, I'll be a shitty John Wilkes
because they make sweets.
I'll be a John Wilkes Booth, kind of. You know, I'll be. Yeah. It's we've made fame something that you can't just choose. Like the tribe has to choose who gets on the pedestal, and the tribe gets to stand around that pedestal and decide whether or not
it's a holdover from the idea that everyone knowing who you are equated to money.
That's what I was going to say. Is I think that some, you know, it seems like you won the lotto. Like, why Jennifer Lawrence other than some other blonde actress? Like, it could have been anyone. And, you know, the third lead on whatever, the Vampire Diaries, is making so much fucking money off of that, right? And everyone, it seems like an easy thing to attain.
These American Idol shows and things like that. Yeah. They I don't know how these people fare afterward, but I know the miracle of that show is that they actually, now you're just famous because you're on American Idol because it's a fucking popular show. But my God, that promise of like, and the winner will be a famous singer.
Yeah, just like that. But that's also
they kind of end up being a famous singer because everyone was watching that show. It lasted 20 years. It was Major League Baseball. But like,
that's American, though. That's a weird American. American expansion was based on, like, shit, there's gold, and everyone ran to it. And, like, and you know, California was settled because we had gold up north and we had movies down here. So we had, like, gold and fame. And because so that's only, the only reason why any of you are sitting here.
To expand on that metaphor, because there was only so much you can do with a pickaxe or a stick of dynamite. There's only so much gold you can get out of the earth. And then, if you have the technology to point a ray and just go vroom, and scan the planet and go, this planet is 10% gold. Okay, I'll take it. Fuck the planet, move away. That's what the internet is. Whatever you have to offer, give it to me. I'll take it for free. I'll download it. I don't care. There's no, it's not gold. Maybe the gold is limited because if the gold is talent, but fucking I'll take it and I'm not going to pay you that much for it. Like, and Snickers ain't gonna get paid for it, and Nike ain't gonna get paid for it. Like those are the days in which we live. So all of us people who want to be heard and want to like are narcissists and want to output stuff, we're living in the golden age, but we're not gonna get any money for it.
Might not. Although I don't know. Well, I think if McDonald's offered us any money, I think I would have.
No, you'd take it.
No.
They're not going to.
No, I would say no. But I mean, that's the thing is, you know, we had one dumb video that led to now this is our job. This is our career. I make more now than I ever did at the Times. And at the Times also, if we wanted coffee creamer, we had to pay 15 cents. And once I had to look under my floor mats in my 1993 Subaru to buy coffee creamer.
I only charge her 10 cents for coffee creamer.
That's true. But I mean, but that's the thing is it is that gold rush, and it is that idea that like anyone here sitting in front of us or listening to this could have some idea that no one's ever really had, and then in 72 hours someone's aunt would be like, did you see the thing? And
they
then
absolutely
a weird
can.
Door
there's
opens
within their power.
Then there's something there. Okay, you can look at that two ways. You can look at that as like gross, everyone needs validation, everyone wants to be famous, everyone's a whore, oh my god, who's gonna notice me, my bucket has a hole in it. Or you can look at it as we have a platform and a voice. We essentially everyone in like 2005 was handed a megaphone, and it's very loud and it's very noisy, but everyone has more.
But our ears adjust, and that's how people talk now. I think it's great that everyone has a podcast. When I got a podcast, I was the 450 millionth person. There was no way I was going to convince myself that I was doing anything innovative by saying I'm going to have a podcast. I bit that bullet. I was like, yeah, but podcasts are awesome. That there's the alternatives of people tweeting about like everyone's got a podcast. Well, where is that going to get you? I'm all over the place, but I'm just saying like, and I don't think this issue needs to be resolved.
I have another issue with this, but that brings up a really important question, and that is on different social media platforms, you have a really different tonal way of representing yourself in your life. In Twitter, it's, oh, I'm so fucking miserable. Oh, I haven't changed my pants in 5 days. Blah, and I don't have a boyfriend. And then on Instagram,
you're obviously following Questlove.
Yeah. Hillary Clinton, official. But no, and then on Instagram, it's like, well, isn't that nice? And then on Facebook, it's like, I am so grateful for my family. And so you represent yourself.
And then Tumblr, it's like, I cannot believe what happened yesterday.
But I mean, that's a weird. And that's,
how dare he? In that interview,
suggest that Jeff and Annie's relationship had something to do with a schoolgirl crush.
All right, you're projecting.
I'm going to kill myself right now if no one stops me.
You're projecting, and that is a very that's a limited scope of your experience, no, but I believe you.
Right then now, I'm scroll down to the cat meme. And
Right now on Twitter, I'm not like the world's biggest tweeter. I do it once in a while. I'm going through a fucking crisis. I have been for a long time now been confused with Jeff Davis, the creator of Criminal Minds and now the television's Teen Wolf.
Oh, dear.
There's a guy named fucking...
Oh, is there a guy that makes shows that
yes.
has your name?
And once I was told by my accountants, our accountants, we have the same accountancy people, that, hey, you... BLS limo, you used a limo service for something and it got charged to another Jeff Davis, but we've sorted it out. My credit card was shut off a couple months ago because my accountant called me up and said, did you just spend $5,000 on limos last night? I'm like, no. They go, okay, that's Criminal Minds Teen Wolf Jeff Davis.
Yes.
I said, can you tell BLS limo to get their shit together? So I've left them. And also BLS, if you're living, go... thumbs down.
You need a middle name like Minotaur. Well,
my name is Brian because of SAG. There's a million Jeff Davis. I am Jeff Brian, or Jeff B. Davis, rather. I'm Jeff B. Davis for that reason, because there's a long line for Jeff Davises out there.
No, you need to throw Muhammad in there. You need to do something. Or you need to go for Hartstack, which is not George's last name. It's Hartstark, but everyone missed it.
Well, Allie has an E on the end of her name because of that reason.
Oh, yeah. I did search engine optimization on my name, and I changed my identity. Hi. My name is Allie Ward, but it was A-L-I, and then Ward. And then 2011 happened. 2011. 2000 and September 11th happened. Hi.
When?
I don't know.
Already fucking forgot.
Never forget.
There's a mnemonic device if you want to remember 9/11.
No. I have a post-it note on my mirror that's like, don't forget the thing.
September 2011.
I know. But after that, I would people would call me Ali all the time, and I was like, this is getting confusing. And then I started writing for a newspaper, and there was another journalist named Allie Ward, spelled with no E, and she was a horticulturist in Britain. And so people would be like, hi, I'd love for to ask about tulip bulbs. And I was like, fuck you. And so I put an E on the end. I Googled Allie Ward with an E. No one else, zero search results. And I was like, all right, that's my new name. And now my parents, when they write to me, they put an E. Nope. They take it off.
Allison.
They don't know what to call me. And I'm like, hi, I'm the chick with the E on the end.
You know, when I was younger, I got made fun of for my name, like both the first and last so fucking much, but now I'm so
Georgia Miriam Hardstark.
Georgia Hardstark in the world.
You have the name of a dead woman. It's Georgia Miriam Hardstark.
House Hardstark.
What the hell?
Oh, I get a
that?
Lot of guys come up to me like, do you watch Game of Thrones? Because your last name is really.
What is it in Game of Thrones?
It's like House Stark, right?
Is
or
it?
House...
Who's it? Where are my nerds at? Yeah, but
if you go on my Twitter timeline right now and look, 90 fucking percent of it is a bunch of people going, like naming characters, like, oh my God, this is the best thing that ever happened. So-and-so is making out with so-and-so.
That's amazing.
And then it's everybody replying to everybody, including the official MTV Teen Wolf site. So before this quite escalated, I wrote a tweet a while back, like a couple weeks ago, and said, to the people following me that have confused me with Jeff Davis, creator of TV's Teen Wolf, don't you think it's weird that I've never tweeted about Teen Wolf? And then I said, you know what? Fuck it. I have never seen the show, but I'm gonna do a Q&A. I've never seen the show, but I not the creator of Teen Wolf. I'm going to do a brief Teen Wolf Q&A. So people are like, how do you know when Teen Wolf went through when a Teen Wolf goes through puberty? Hair or your balls? So I just like stupid shit like that. And what's it going to be called when he's not a teenager anymore? It's just going to be called Wolf. So I did five of those and said, thank you. I hope I answered your Teen Wolf questions. Sincerely, Jeff Davis, creator of Teen Wolf. But also, I called the cast a bunch of pricks and I said I had a methadone addiction. So there was some like online news thing. I like the dots, or I don't know what it was fucking called. Did some funny article.
They
said like the wrong Jeff Davis answers your Teen Wolf questions. and they go like it's comedian Jeff Davis, Jeff Brian Davis, because like apparently this guy Jeff Davis had gone offline of Twitter a couple years ago, probably because he's truly disliked. Because most of the shit I get in my time, I was like, fuck you, you're Satan. I'm like, hey, whose line shouldn't be taken that seriously?
We got to get this guy on the show.
Please, Jeff Davis. So actually, the Teen Wolf people said, like, that was hilarious. Thank you. But with all of that, because people that watch the show, God bless them, I'm sure they're lovely people, but I would guess younger. And irony, not their fort. Yeah, sarcasm, not their bag.
Right.
Neither their bread nor their butter. And so now, because of that, I have so many more followers that think I'm the creator of Chandler. And so I've just gone on like begging MTV, please set the fucking record straight on this one. My timeline right now is a fucking absolute morass of people saying things I have no idea what they're talking about.
Do you have dueling wikis? Dueling wikis, by the way, name of my autobiography. No, do you have dueling Wikipedias? What the hell was that?
Your phone fell out.
It's fine.
Her bedazzled phone.
It was blowing up too much. Don't worry about it. Do you have dueling Wikipedias?
I don't know what that is.
Like, did you have a Jeff Davis and a Jeff
IMDb?
My Wikipedia page is so fucking absolutely fallacious. I've tried to change it. I'm not allowed to change it. I'm still dating a person I've never met. I created calcium. I'm the viceroy of Bengal.
I won't go to mine because people that hate me, like, they... I crossed a tipping point. Like, I don't Google myself and I won't Wikipedia myself because I'm afraid... Like, people... Sometimes there'll just be a paragraph in there and it's like, fat asshole Dan Harmon is a fat fuck and a fat piece of shit. And if it was just that, it would be great. But, like, it's the insinuation that I'm a bad person with bad values. That's what gets under my skin. When I was in my 20s, and Google was first a thing, and I would Google my own name, and there was a little blend of like oh, I've done some stuff, and it's a dim recollection of like wishing that I was like, oh, I wish I was, because there was another guy who was like a district attorney of Arkansas named Dan Harmon, who had participated in the assassination of two kids who were walking down a railroad track and stumbled onto a drug deal cops and drug dealers.
You can assassinate kids?
Yeah. Well, if they witness the drug deal between cops and drug dealers. And the two kids were just blown away. And Dan Harmon was the district attorney, I want to say. Or attorney general of the state or something like that.
When you Google my name... Oh, you're not done.
And so it was just like... I kept...
Wow.
I would Google my name and I would look at the first three results and I would be like, fuck this fucking guy that murdered two kids. One day I'm going to be more famous than him. I would really think that in my head. I'm like, one day I'm going to fucking trump this guy for the murder of two children. Be careful what you wish for.
Also, a name for a noose in the South is a Jeff Davis necktie. Like, there's a famous Jeff Davis out there, and he... Yeah.
I have so I yeah. When you Google my name, which I don't do often because it's fucking terrible for your self-esteem, but like 3 years ago I wrote for a Deal Breaker blog, like, Deal Breaker, if you share custody of a pet with your ex, like, I won't date, like, that's Deal Breaker. And some fucking guy, like, there's now, if you Google my name, it says why Georgia Hardstark will die alone. Not literally word for word, and you click on it and it's like just tearing me apart for having that opinion.
Clearly a guy that shared a bulldog with her, like a...
Right, clearly. And so every time people, I think, will Google me, they'll click it because it's terrifying, and so it stays up on, like, the top of the Google list. So, like, my grandma is, like, 103 if she fucking...
She does not Google, Google shit, dude.
Whatever, my aunt, like, if she Googles...
She's like, ever life potion.
Like, your grandma doesn't give... She's like...
Hey, Dan, can we bring Spencer up?
We should bid goodbye to our guests.
Yeah,
and then
I don't know if there's...
We're end on dead grandmas.
We have to,
you're welcome to stay as far as I'm concerned, but I think it's time to have Spencer.
Well, I think we're going to bring Aaron up, we're going to bring Spencer up, and we're going to play D&D.
I would
give our guests the broom, but you've pointed it out now.
No, we're out of here.
I'm sorry, I just assumed they were staying with us.
No, we're outie. We'll watch the D&D from the wings. I still have a Magic the Gathering deck in case anyone wants to play with me.
All right, well, let's thank Allie and Georgia for coming by.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Allie and Georgia, everybody. Oh, I assumed they were staying. I didn't mean to give them the hook.
Yeah, man, I was trying to get rid of them, and you fucked it up.
Or I just put the pedal to the metal.
Well, yeah, I guess you forced the issue. That's for sure.
Well, let's bring Spencer out, shall we? All Spencer.
Whoa.
Wow. Spencer,
hey,
you leapt to the stage like a desert breeze.
Yeah, I'm all over the place today.
How you doing, man?
I'm out of sorts. I mean, I don't. Everyone who's not listening to the podcast will know I look like shit. I smell like shit. I woke up bad. I threatened the life of an old elderly lady today.
All right, go with that. Let's go with that.
Okay.
What was the what occasioned you threatening the life of an elderly woman?
Driving on near Target, La Brea, there was this old woman who had the crazed look of a homeless person, but the well dressedness of, you know, a lady going to church, and she was wandering in the street like those hobos do when they're going up and down the aisles looking for change. But she was just making the most craven stare, like, at people, and then, like, walking towards them if they gave any indication of noticing her existence. And I slipped up. I gave one glance, and the next thing I know, she was right at the corner of my car, like, right in front of it, like, just staring at me. And my window was down. I think that might be why she was targeting me, because, you know, I could hear her potentially. But she didn't say anything. She was just staring at me, and then the light turns green, and you'd think it was, like, because she was trying to cross the street, but it wasn't. But she started to, like, go in front of my car, like, to make as if she was, like, going to walk in front of my car, making eye contact all this time. Like you know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. What are you planning, old lady? But so my window was rolled down, and so I cut around her and, like, sped off, and I was like, I will end your life!
You said that?
Yeah.
I will end your life?
Yeah.
As you drove away, you could have just done it. You could have.
I know.
Just,
yeah. And I wanted her to know that.
Right.
I could have just plowed straight through her and had a great day.
So you drove around her, but said, I saved you this day.
Yeah.
But I will in the future end your life.
Yeah.
What did that lady say at the drive-thru in that YouTube video when she couldn't get her chicken McNuggets? You know what I'm talking about?
I will achieve my ultimate form.
You do not want me to achieve my ultimate form? It's like, it seems like this is now a thing. I mean, because really, you said that in a rage? That's what you said?
I am ageist. I have a problem with old people.
I will really end your life. Like, not I will run you over. I will kill you. Fuck off, old lady.
I said fuck you under my breath. And then I went into full
I will
yelling.
End your life.
Yeah.
It feels like there's a like we're becoming a society of video game.
No, people. I'd love to be able to end the lives of the elderly.
I'd love to have the composure to word my outrage like that.
I had no idea what she was planning. Like if I was trying to get the attention of a motorist. You know, I would make eye contact and then maybe gesture at them and maybe mouth a few words, get their attention, you know? And then once they had my attention, I'd maybe sidle up to the side of the car and maybe say anything at all. Or, you know, do anything other than walk in front of my car right the second that the light is turning green without the intent to cross the street. I don't know.
Is it possible she was just kind of a demented, like...
Well, that's even worse for me. I want to kill those people, too.
Wow.
I got a lot of problems.
Yeah, you're about, I don't know, like 70 years too late for that, man. There was a time.
I know.
When you,
I got to catch up.
Let's bring out my betrothed, Aaron McGathy.
Aaron McGathy! Thanks for coming, Aaron. Aaron McGathy, everybody. Wow. Short interview.
Allie in Georgia.
Yeah.
I love Allie in Georgia.
I just remember when we were in that restaurant, when we were in the Rustic Inn, and I yelled at that guy. I told that story of the podcast where the guy, like, yelled at us at the end of a lunch for swearing during lunch, and I just blurted out at him because
Tam O'Shanter, right?
I said Rustic Inn. He said, if you guys want to talk like you're at a truck stop, why don't you eat at one? And I just blurted out, like, if you want to tell people how to talk, why don't you go back to Germany? I, I, I,
I'm saying, like it, in my most outraged moments, I am not.
Who's the guy?
I'm not the most articulate.
Did we tell them? No, that's not true. You've been outraged and been overly articulate and decimated people or eviscerated people. Who's the guy that came by in the hat at Bigfoot Lodge? And we saw him, and he had a fedora on and suspenders, and he was kind of one of those guys. And yeah,
I think he was exactly one of
those. He might have known swing dance, and actually I knew him from the old swing dance days. So there you have it. But he was like, hey Jeff, I'm so and so, and he kind of like pistol winks, and you know, and he moved off, and we didn't leave, and we're two hours later he comes by, like, are you guys still in the same booth? And I forget what you said, but it was a fucking goodie. You're like,
I said, well, count your blessings. If it weren't for people like us that didn't move, you wouldn't know.
You'd lose your stripes, Magellan.
But I wasn't mad at him. I just hated him. I wanted him to die. I that's a different.
You weren't
like,
mad at him. You just wanted him to die.
When I'm in a fight or flight response, yeah. I'm not going to be like Jonathan Swift. Like it's when I'm in a surly mood. Like if I've been drinking and I just want to be left alone, and someone comes up to me and does one of those things where they wave their hand in front of your face because you're not making enough eye contact, or they say like that guy did, like he implied that I should have been moving more. I would gladly watch that guy just like descend on a spike onto a bunch of other spikes. I don't know how torture works, but like I hated him.
Murder.
If I'm in a surly leave me alone mood.
I'm kind of in the mood to get a good session of D&D. Are you guys down for that?
I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like the last couple, we didn't get shit done. Oh, dear
shit.
Heavens.
God damn it.
Well, now we know why.
Drunk Harmon, drop a... Aaron, do you have anything to... You've been building up pressure back there in the...
I'm doing great. I am enjoying this show so far. I'm a little distracted by our recent wedding planning.
We didn't talk about that because we want it to be special, right?
Yeah. No, we're not going to talk about it. But backstage, I was just talking to our friends and floating on a happy cloud. So I was listening to the episode. I love Allie in Georgia. Just enjoying their...
They're all right. the wedding thing does, like, it's kind of cool to have to, like, pick seven groomsmen. Like, that's like, when you're a kid, like, picking action figures. Like,
I mean, you guys discuss, like, slumber parties and stuff. While you were talking about that, I was thinking about, like, my bachelorette party and what that means and being able to pick people for that. And like you said, being able to pick bridesmaids and groomsmen. It's a weird position for, like, an outcast to be in. But it's great. It's so fun. But as far as, like, building up steam, I've just been riding this high, man. Because we went to our wedding venue yesterday. I'm still riding that.
It's going to be fun.
Riding that high.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be good.
Are we going to be the first people that get married that don't almost get divorced during the planning of the wedding? Are we going to be able to
pull
this off?
I hope so. Is that a life trope?
Well,
is that a real thing?
It just seems like everyone I've ever talked to when they're planning their wedding, it seems like they...
How involved are you going to be in this planning, Dan?
So far, 100%. I don't...
I would like to think that everything that I don't care about is stuff that Aaron cares about.
Right, yeah. Have you chosen to be very involved or very not involved?
I want it to be a good wedding. I'm not going to baby out. I'm not going to go, just tell me where I'm getting married, and then also complain about everything. I have a lot of opinions about weddings. I have gone to a lot of them. So I want to make sure the sound system is fucking whip ass. I don't want to hear a crackle or a fucking hum during those goddamn shitty self-written vows. I don't want any of the shit that always bugs the fuck out of me when I go to weddings to bug the fuck out of anybody that goes to my wedding. And so I have a lot of opinions about that stuff.
I don't want
to
jinx it, but so far,
if I did, it would go a little something
like this. No. So I wasn't one of those little girls who dreamed about her wedding. So now, as an adult, I'm getting to dream about it from scratch. But all of my really specific passionate ideas match with Dan's, and I don't feel, you guys will see, shit's gonna get weird at our wedding. But like it's all very specific and like works with, it's the same as your vision. So
I had a dream. I had a dream about your wedding.
You can't go though. You're not invited.
When is it? I'm out of town. I had a dream about your wedding that you had asked me to MC it, not officiate it, but to be like the MC, like kind of bring people up, and then like Dan panicked and just went out there and just started roasting everybody, and Dan just did a big roast. And then there was a dolphin playing violin.
So you were there at our session with our wedding planner.
All right. Spencer, what have you been enjoying being my assistant?
Yeah, I feel like I've been slipping lately. I'm not sure exactly.
Because I don't need an assistant lately.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
so
well,
it's been an easy job.
Okay.
You should high-five yourself. It's easy.
Dan doesn't
I'm
have a
housekeeper. I'm a workaholic.
House key.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a house key.
I will go get one right now. I have a copy. I know.
I
a
also
guy.
Need a. I need my key fob for my Prius replaced.
That's the one that you like hold near the door and then it opens.
What are you, an alien? If that were, no, you have to push a button. I don't know why I'm so offended by that.
Your car doesn't have a smart key access where it opens up just because it knows
well,
your key is
there. Well, it does. He has to push the button, but if he doesn't have the key fob, it won't work. So.
Right? Yeah, it's fallen apart. I've dropped it, and it's I need a new one.
All right,
so that's something to work on.
Let me write that down.
Yeah. So now you're a good assistant. That's great.
Spencer, do you have any critiques for Dan as an employer?
You know, no. You're doing an amazing job. I think you could stand to gain a few pounds.
I like this guy.
Yeah.
You know what? You're promoted to senior assistant. He just became platinum assistant.
Spencer, you ready to roll on this D&D?
Yeah, sure.
Let's say when I finally
get
it, let's do the bit.
How exciting is How exciting is it to see the Harmon Quest animation?
It's really exciting.
Really, really cool.
I'm terrified. I've never, you know, I'm just a fucking guy, and now I have this thing.
And now there's a cartoon of you.
Yeah,
playing
yeah. Spencer, that
awesome.
Cartoon of you is pretty incredible.
Really
how
cool.
do you how do you feel about that cartoon?
I feel good. I looked way too fat originally. I was like, I'm not saying I'm skinny. I'm saying I'm tall and fat, not fat.
No, I
there's
agree.
A difference.
They made
difference.
A lot of weird stature changes. I had to tell you, like, yeah. Tell them you're not that fat.
I was like, I may.
But Dan, your character is like incredibly rotund.
But he's an orc. Like
I'm fine.
His character's like 6'7". Like, and I was fatter and taller than him, and I'm 6'4". So that doesn't make sense, right? Right.
Meanwhile, old Aaron McGathy, my animation is sexy as
yeah.
fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like
way sexier than
like,
I'm going
like
to
Jessica
lose
Rabbit.
Weight to Matt. Yeah. And you could note it and be like, this does not look like her at all. But instead, it's like, yeah, totally. In her mind, that's what it is. It's appropriate.
I'm glad you like it.
I love it.
I didn't want it to be like trivialized.
No, trivialized.
I was like bigger boobs.
I
mean,
I am torn in that way, and I say during the thing I describe myself as very like busty and skinny. It's incredibly insulting for every feminist listening, I'm sure.
And I should
but also my dream also great because I'm marginalizing myself.
I should just disclaim I didn't actually like say anything. They did a great job on their own. The artists.
Thank you for disclaiming.
Yeah, I didn't want to people think that it was my idea.
Well, now that's all.
Do we
I'm
know when this
about.
Is gonna when this will be visible? When's this gonna be
I
done?
I have no idea.
That's what's so crazy. That's what I never would have expected. Like because you know there's people who like wrote a pilot and took it around and then they get it shot and then they have a pilot in the works.
Yeah.
Like I just fell into that. It's weird. I feel bad for everybody else.
We gotta make sure next week's podcast, we gotta have like a civil rights activist on. Because the last 2 weeks, we've talked about how I don't understand women and how fat I'm getting and how famous we all are. Just a mental note to myself.
Okay. The wrong song.
Right. Yes, have Spencer, fuck it. Someone who's desalinizing water off the coast of Africa or something. just to gain something back that I think we've lost.
And that person just by proxy is a civil rights activist?
No, I'm riffing lists of possibilities.
Okay.
Someone special. Someone humanizing.
When we last met,
thank you.
Our heroes were down a hole and up a creek, hundreds of feet below the earth. After landing in the dust, the group spied an approaching hissing skeleton with orange glowing hands. His name was Lenev, the rebel, and he revealed to the gang that Krista Berg was possessed by dark forces. As fates would have it, Lenev was also happened to reveal a cure to the heroes, the mythical, mystical Tarragon of Virtue. Then Krista Berg started shooting lasers all over the place, and Mulrain had to restrain him, deftly crafting a muzzling manacle. Then Quark took off the muzzle to make out with the possessed rogue, which was an admittedly terrible idea, and in return received a mouthful of vomit. Appetite sated, the party departed for Tormod Tor, the city of unshackled dead. But who was this mysterious skeleton? And why did he quickly drop his language of hisses within 5 minutes of meeting him? And why did his hands glow with an orange light? We'll find out next. Maybe, probably not, I doubt it.
How drunk were you last week? I don't. That was like hearing like this is what you did. Like
that's what you sounded like when I was saying it then too. Yeah. So
you told Trisha she was a racist. Trisha, who's Trisha?
Do we need a Krista Berg up here? Or are we going to go just freestyle it with
Can
us?
Can I be Krista Berg?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Sorry, cool. Folks.
Hey, Krista Berg, how are you feeling? Are you still possessed?
No. I mean, I'm fine.
I sense motive on him.
His eyes are glowing with rage.
Okay, he's still.
You could even untie me.
No,
we're gonna leave you. You vomited in my mouth, man. Where do we find this Tarragon of virtue?
That's a weird thing to ask me, the person who's afflicted by it.
Okay, I asked the game master because I forgot. Did he say where the Tarragon of Virtue lay?
No, he said he'd take you to the Bone Sages. Lenev, the rebel, speaks up. I'm taking you to the Bone Sages now.
All right, we'll
You'll
follow
recall.
You. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Bone Sages.
That sounds good.
All right.
As you trek through the dusty gray darkness, you're reminded of the hazy monochromatic look of the monochromatic look of the shadow plane.
Remember this, fellas?
By several dark gray pillars and massive curved bones stab out of the ground like teeth.
The old shadow plane. It's funny what you come to call home when you've been so far.
Ain't that the truth?
Never thought I'd miss the shadow play.
Never.
After all we've been through. It's just good to be back in the shadow play. Oh, so we're walking with a skeleton? Yeah. I don't know what the fuck. I swear to God, last week I was just, I don't know what happened.
It wasn't a long
Lenev, tell me about the Bone Sages. Who are they?
Oh, the Bone Sages, they see the future. They know stuff. They're like, you know, normal non-Bone Sages. Wise people, dude, advisors. They advise the Magister of Tormod Tor.
Are they nearby?
They're pretty nearby. We're getting close now, but
okay, cool. Thank you, Lenev. I take Quark aside. Who's Lenev? When did we meet her? Is she? I don't know what.
It was a hissing skeleton that had orange glowing hands that came out.
Hissing skeleton, orange glowing hands.
Yes. And then he stopped hissing, and they started speaking. And
just he's here to help us.
Yeah, he's. I was there too, baby. I don't know.
Okay. Hey, man.
Hey. I was just saying that. You know, I'm a skeleton, but I'm not a bad guy. But there's skeletons down here that are bad guys.
For sure.
How do we know that we can trust you, Lenev?
I mean, I haven't eaten your faces.
Oh, nor have you tried. In which case, you would invoke my fucking rage.
Sharpie. I just want to make that clear. I've run into too many people on this quest who have implied that they have power over me. Nobody does. I've been stomped by an ice giant, and I'm here, motherfucker. You eat my face. You eat it.
You were so much more pleasant just 5 minutes ago.
He had a cup of coffee.
I'm confused.
You're thankful that I'm your friend.
Sharpie.
Not the other way around.
Sharpie.
You're lucky.
Sharpie.
You're lucky.
Sharpie.
When was luck invoked?
Sharpie.
So I just said I didn't attack you guys. Love.
Sharpie, just because you don't remember what happened 5 minutes ago doesn't make it his fault.
All right.
Lenev.
Okay. I take Lenore aside. Can I take Lenore aside?
Lenev.
Lenev.
Lenore.
Lenev.
Lenev. Listen.
Jeez. Fucking alcoholic.
I'm going to tell you something that I don't feel like I could tell other people.
No.
I'm an alcoholic. And I it comes with all kinds of behaviors that... I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But don't fuck... Don't assert dominance
over me. What is dominance?
What you just implied a minute ago that I'm fortunate that you haven't eaten my face. Don't fucking deny it.
No,
He didn't imply that you were lucky. He said, "How do I know you're on our side?" He goes, "Because if I weren't, I might eat your face."
Well, I just want to correct that. If you weren't, you would try to eat my face. Asterisk. You'd fail. As so many have before. Because I'm a fucking badass. Because this is the game and not real life.
Sharpie, let's put this to the test in Tormod of Tor as we go in search of the Tarragon of Virtue to save Christa Berg from his possession.
What?
Just...
All right.
Just nod and go,
okay. I was drunk last week and I'm sorry. You know what? I won't lie. I'm a little drunk this week. It's not helping.
No.
I'm sober.
What's your name? Lenore?
Lenev.
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 Okay. Just like, let's both be thankful that we're friends.
Fucking leave it.
No one's benefiting here.
Who's talking about thankfulness or friendship?
Are we still walking while this is happening? Like that,
That Justin Bieber shit. You got all bent out of shape because they went to his house because he ate people.
But somebody implies that, like, here's how you'd know if I wasn't your friend. Your face would be...
Hey, how many zombies...
Not true.
How many zombies that have been your friend bit you in the face upon meeting you?
None.
Yeah. Because none of those zombies were your friends.
I approach Sharpie and I use my fingers to do like the walking up spider motion up his arm to his shoulder.
I slap it away. I just want to clarify. Here's where the culture gap is.
I really thought we were...
In movies...
I start eating dirt.
In movies...
What is that term for that that condition where you want to eat dirt and rocks?
Pica.
Mica?
Pica.
Pica. I have pica, so I start eating dirt and rocks.
It's a badass thing to say in movies that somebody goes like, if I wanted to kill you, you'd already be dead. That's how I interpreted that.
I am a person.
I'm okay. Babe, don't eat dirt. All right, okay. I stop her from eating dirt.
Mom and daddy in the sand.
I walk off with Lenev in the direction of Tormod of Tor.
Don't eat dirt.
Okay.
Don't eat dirt.
I leave them. I want to get some shit done today.
Well.
I want to get into some combat. I want to fucking sing
an original song called Don't Eat Dirt. It's awesome.
Sing it.
Take my word for it.
Sing it.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, if he rolls that it's awesome, it's awesome.
No, you'll sing it, and if I like it, it's awesome.
Don't eat dirt. Don't munch gravel for your hurt can now unravel. If you take my hand in yours, you don't need minerals or ores to go down your gullet. Take that bullet and bite and take my hand.
Don't but I'm afraid.
And anyways, it's awesome. No matter what you roll, now you can. So now we.
Dan, we just revealed our vows.
Hey, Laverne, wait up, Laverne.
Lenev.
The face eater. Don't eat my face.
I run up to Quirk, and I'm also trying to stay on task.
Okay.
Just promise me you won't eat my face.
He never said he was going to, man.
He said I would know if we weren't friends because he would eat my face. That's
he
a
said,
threat.
He said, did I try to eat your face? He didn't say, is your face eaten? He said, how do I know you're on our side? Have I tried to
By
eat your
way,
face?
By the way, why are you on his side?
Because I asked him, are we on your side? He goes, have I tried to eat your face? We and don't you, know.
It's a very common undead activity to eat your face. It's very normal among them.
Okay, I just out of curiosity, like I pull Lenev aside and I go, okay, Lenev, my Sharpie's he's in one of his episodes right now. Go up there and try to eat his face.
I lay down with my hands under my back. And I go, here's my face. Let's pretend. Hey, fuck your mother. We're not friends. No. Go through the motions you'd go through.
Christaberg vomits acid on your face.
What? What?
Christaberg, he's possessed rogue.
Dealing how much
we
vomit
have him
damage?
Tied up.
He can still vomit.
French speakers, does Nev mean dream? What does Nev mean? Oh, Nev doesn't mean anything?
You're drunk.
No,
Jesus Christ. So there's vomit on my face?
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, why'd you get down on the floor and threaten things to happen to you?
To make a point. To assert dominance.
Did you make your point?
No, you did. Okay,
sober.
Fine. I get up and I follow Laverne.
Lenev! Lenev. Lenev, are we close to Tormod?
I stopped walking to see all this happen.
Yeah, I'm sure we're really close. I'm sure we're right at the precipice of...
Can we compress time and be there?
I mean, we could have done that 5 minutes ago.
Let's do it now.
We do it now?
Okay, but if during any of that time...
Jesus Christ!
Compress it.
I turn to Sharpie and go, Sharpie, look, you're on edge right now, but I say harness that energy, harness that rage, because we might need it for what's coming up.
Okay. I don't like people telling me...
He didn't say anything.
Do you think there are any kids who listen to Harmontown and they first heard about Dungeons & Dragons or Pathfinder via Harmontown, and they're playing... And then they all tell each other, no, you're not drunk enough. And they go into their parents' liquor cabinet and they start drinking Drano. And it was like, this isn't real yet. You have to play. You have to be blackout drunk to play.
There's an explicit label.
What if Justin Bieber and his friends were playing D&D or they started LARPing and then the eggs were part of it? Like they're
casting spells in their name.
I'm guessing that Justin Bieber...
I cast
Bieber,
Egg of Doom.
No, you know that Justin Bieber's LARPing is like, I go to the grocery store. I buy Fruity Pebbles. I go home.
End. Team Bieber.
Team Bieber.
I believe the Constitution's intact.
Team Bieber. I believe in the constitutional right to protect you from search and seizure. I couldn't hit the high note. All right, Spencer, keep it going, baby.
What?
No, it's not
Spencer, I attacked the affinifish.
You miss.
Okay.
Keep what going?
I'm sorry. Let's get back on track. I'm sorry.
Get back on track?
Let's get on track.
Okay. Now that makes
sense. I have been trying.
So have I. I'm fucking role-playing. When somebody says they're going to eat my face.
He didn't say he was going to eat your face, though.
Dude, this is being recorded. Everyone on Reddit is going to agree with me.
No, they're not. They're not.
The way that skeleton talked to me was unacceptable. I said, are you friends? And he said...
There's a live audience of sober people who heard just what I heard.
He said, if I wasn't your friend, I'd be eating your face.
No, he did not say that. It's not what he said.
That's what he said.
No, that's what you heard because you're a fucking paranoid lunatic.
He said, if I wasn't your friend, I'd be eating
your
face.
No, he didn't say that. That's not
what he said.
I said... I've told you four times what he said.
What did he say?
I said, can we trust you? And he goes, how do we know we can trust you? And he goes, well, have I tried to eat your face? I go,
no. That's the same thing. Yeah, okay, fine. I don't accept that.
You're
socially.
Crazy. Crazy person.
Hey, man, can you park my car? Oh, sure, I can take you. I'll park
your
car.
Is the valet an undead monstrosity?
He's separating himself from the other undead people who would absolutely try to eat your face.
Hey, bartender, can I have a drink?
Is the bartender an undead monstrosity?
Yeah, I'll get you a drink. Hey, you're working this shift, right? Well, hey, I'm not stabbing you in the throat, am I?
Is he wrong?
No, you're not. But fucking try, motherfucker. What the fuck? We're
what
in a fight
weird,
now. You just threatened to stab me.
Why are you so defensive?
What the fuck? What? I don't know.
Maybe we should talk about gender neutrality.
Everybody's on your side. Dan, everybody's on your team right now. Take it easy. Fucking have a sip of water.
Okay.
Fucking take a couple breaths.
Nobody's out to
get you right now.
No, everybody is because I went to them and they all booed.
Because
I don't understand this society where someone can threaten to eat your face.
They didn't threaten you. He didn't threaten to eat your face.
We're staying here till midnight tonight, by the way. We don't go home. We play D&D until this shit is fucking like settled.
Can we have Dustin? Do we have live playback? Is that impossible?
No. I know what he said. I agree with what you said. He said, "I'm fuck it. God damn it."
Great idea for a new T-shirt. We don't go home, Harmontown.
I think you're on edge about this whole Justin Bieber thing, but that's not the root of it. The root of it is that you feel that the world is closing in on you.
No, to Spencer's point, because he's an undead maniac, I'm supposed to accept threats from him. But guess what? I'm Sharpie. I've been stomped by giants. I didn't take shit from them, and I don't take shit from anybody.
He didn't give you any shit.
He gave me shit. He fucking said that he has the freedom to eat my face.
You're being a fucking weirdo. You're being a weirdo.
So, Nev, what is our... We're going to meet these other guys, yeah?
We're trying to help Krista Berg get unpossessed, I think.
All right. All right. Laverne?
Lenev.
Forward! And hey, just so you know, I'm happy to be with you right now. Exhibit A, I'm not stabbing you in the face! That's how you know we're friends! Let's hang out.
Dan, you're behaving like a monstrosity right now.
I guess that's what I am. I guess you should take it as a compliment.
Can I summon Coco the horse?
Yeah, she's been here.
Okay. I hop on top of her. Quirk, Sharpie, would you like to hop on top of my horse?
Yes, I hop on the back of the horse.
Of right, course I'd love to hop on your horse. You know how you know.
Here we go. Jesus Christ.
I'm not cutting its heart out and roasting it over a fire.
That's weird.
You know I'm willing to ride your horse. Socially acceptable exchange. I hop on your horse. I hop on our horse.
He's a giant skeleton with glowing hands. Why do you expect him to behave?
We're all on Coco and we're following you at this point.
Fuck it, I'm worried about Sharpie right now.
Yeah.
All right. So advance, Lenev.
No, this is all fucked up now. This guy's being a real dick. I'm just trying to help you. I've been.
Right,
nothing
I get off
but
the
kind.
Horse. I get off the horse. I go up to him.
Jeez.
What?
What do you mean what?
Who's being a real dick?
You were threatening to stab me in the face just now.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's weird. Then by the transitive property, fuck you! Don't eat my face! I will be friends with you. Friends don't throw shit like that out into the air. You don't go to a party. People don't do that.
Well,
friends or enemies? Enemies have like detente where they go like, I'm keeping my eye on you and I might eat you in the face. Friends are fucking friends. You bony dick. You don't fucking do that shit.
But he stabs you in the face.
He stabs me.
Please be a 20. Be a 20.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
Shit.
He lunges at you, though, with his glowing hands.
Sharpie, he's our friend.
I never said anything about it being friends. I said I'd take you to Tormontor.
I know.
Everyone's being a douchebag to me.
I'm on your side.
I'm reverting to my baser instincts. This is happening.
Is he saying all this while he's missing me?
Yeah. He has plenty of time.
Dan, Sharpie, he's going to help us. Leave it.
I'm going to help
that's
him.
That's out the window.
I'm
going
to help him. In ways that he would
perhaps
never imagined.
Perhaps this is a totally inappropriate moment for this, but I'm so happy that we're getting married.
Christaberg's head spins around, vomiting all the way 360 degrees.
He's tied up and it doesn't matter.
Like a fountain.
Okay. I dodge. Obviously, he missed me.
He sure did.
And I say to him, and I want you to know that I have the skill of... Yeah, I don't really know.
Impulse.
I say to him, look, let's not fight.
You initiated literally the
let's
last 20 minutes of fighting.
Let's not fight about who started fighting. That's how fights get perpetuated.
What sort of schizophrenic shit? Oh, you're going to stab me in the face now?
I'm not the one attacking people.
Yes, you are!
What?
Jesus Christ!
I didn't do shit, man!
You've been fucking antagonizing
no,
everything.
No, I'm not spending a turn explaining to my supposed friend how this fucking...
Supposed friend?
Yeah, well...
I'm trying to keep you alive.
Take the skeleton side a couple
I'm
more times.
I'm trying to keep you alive. Fucking weird.
Laverne?
Lynette.
I'm cool if you're cool.
It's Lynette! Cliffhanger!
What?
Thank you for coming to Harmontown, everybody. We almost got something done in D&D. Thank you, Aaron McGathy, Spencer Crittenden, Allie in Georgia, everyone here for coming. I'm Jeff Davis, your comptroller.
Go on the internet and discuss whether that was an appropriate way to respond to someone. I'm your friend because I'm not eating your face. Is that an appropriate way to talk to somebody? It's up to you.
Dan Harmon, everybody.